Hi guys, welcome back to Hannah from Atlanta podcast. It's your host, Hannah. It feels so good to be back on the waves. It's been a minute since I've recorded an episode solo dolo, and I figured why not kick off the December content fest by talking about something that I've been doing for today marks a year. So it has been a year since I've been out of school, and I figured today's episode we could talk about adulting and really kind of dive into post-grad adulting year one. So today's episode, I'm really going to kind of talk about what have I learned the first year out of college, the different things that have taken place in my life, and I guess really reflecting on this last year and being out of school and being an adult post-grad. But before we get into my story, I want to do a week recap since this is going up on Friday. So I want to give you guys a little bit of like what has happened in my life, what's going on, all the that jazz. So I guess we'll start from the start of December. So December 1st marked 60 days of me being sober. So I've been alcohol and weed free for 60 days. It feels incredible to say on the waves. I actually want to do a whole episode talking about sobriety in February due to the fact that's kind of like why I'm being sober. I'm just trying to detox my body and kind of focus on the things that matter to me a lot and also be a lot more present. And for me, the holidays do tend to be a very like grief and sentimental and emotional time. So I'm kind of allowing myself to really feel these emotions head on compared to this time last year. I was really struggling a lot with it being the first year since like my dad died. So this year I'm like really, really proud of myself. I can feel the difference without using alcohol or marijuana or anything like that. But also too, I've been taking my vitamins and sleeping by like 10:30. So it feels great. So that's like kind of how the first day and two kind of took on. I'm doing Vlogmas on my YouTube channel, which is Hannah from Atlanta. So if you want to kind of see what the ins and outs of my day or just kind of what is it like to be a social media manager for yourself is like, that is where you can see the video content. And I'm kind of tying a little bit of what I do on here with that, but also to kind of really showcasing like the different things that take place behind the scenes, especially for Hannah from Atlanta, since I am bringing on interns in 2022 and really having a team for the first time, which is super, super exciting because I've been doing this podcast on my own and managing and editing and doing all of that jazz for the last 2 years by myself. I had a copywriter and still do, and he's incredible. He does like some of the behind the scenes, but I'm ready to have a team and have people who can help me really like take this to the next level. But also too, it will ease a lot of my burden as a social media manager and doing content for other people. So I'm really excited to bring on some interns. I've been like interviewing and doing the businesswoman thing. So that's really, really exciting. I also kind of have gotten so much better about taking breaks. So not being work until 11 p.m., but doing work maybe till 7, 8, 9, and then trying to wind down with a movie, YouTube, going out. I went to a birthday party on Saturday going into Sunday, and I was able to be social while also being sober. And I think that's something about adulting that I recognize. There are ways to have a balance. You don't have to feel that you can't be a part of something because you don't drink alcohol. And I surround myself with really good people who would never pressure me or be like, well, you have to drink, like if we're at this bar or something. No, like 9 times out of 10, I'm drinking ginger ale and taking ginger ale shots and no one knows. And I think that's definitely the most beautiful thing about the people that I keep around. And 9 times out of 10, no one really cares. I've noticed, like, I've gone to a couple parties and I will just strictly drink ginger ale and no one can tell the difference, because 9 times out of 10, drunk people can't tell when you're sober unless you tell them I'm sober. And I think that's what's really cool, but it's also been kind of fun being around drunk people because I can kind of entertain myself by laughing, not at them, but with them, you know? So that's been up till Tuesday, that's pretty much what I've been doing. I've been doing some interviews to see if I can get my foot in the door within like the entertainment industry. I'm not, like I've said, well, I actually haven't said, I have a business, so the goal is to like do that full time, but I'm really open because I am 23, and you know, I also was not anticipating being fired from my last employment. I am open to just seeing what life wants to offer me. And I think especially within the production industry or just entertainment industry, there's so many facets that you can do. So for me, if I can do something that not necessarily is minimal, but something that allows me to do both what I'm doing now and what they need me to do, then it's great. And I think I'm very, very proactive about getting people together. I love bringing community, and that is kind of what the role that I apply for kind of entails. So I have a second round interview next Friday, and I'm really, really excited. And it's also in the city of Atlanta. So every day I could be like living my Atlanta dream and being a city girl and dressing really nice in the winter and getting cocoa. So wish me luck for that. But now let's get into the episode and talk about adulting. So when you hear the term adulting, I want you to take a second and think about like what comes to your mind, like the first three things. So when I think of adulting, I think of bills. I think of alone slash alone, like on your ownness. And then the third thing I think about is unknown. Like that's like the three things that come to me. And that honestly is truly what I feel a little bit now. But I think I'm a lot more confident in myself. So let me break down how my adulting kind of took place. So I'll break it down by winter, summer, fall, and now. So when I finished this time last December, I'd finished my courses. So I had not walked and commemorated my experience at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville until May. So I was in this weird limbo from January until May of I'm not a student, but I am not officially a graduate of this university. So I took a retail job and I worked, and I also kind of was dealing a lot with like my mental health and physical health. So I was really kind of prioritizing that. That became a big, big focus. That became a really big, big focus March until I walked in May, because I was just dealing a lot with like and a reaction to the medication I was taking. Like my body wasn't taking it very well. So that was an adjustment. That was also the first time that I really had to focus solely on my mental health and also rely on my mother and my family to like really help me and just like kind of be there for me. But I'm also very thankful that I had some of my closest friends like checking in on me and like being able to talk to them. There was like a traumatic thing that took place. So that kind of was the catalyst of what happened. It was like that and something else. So when I feel ready to talk about it, I definitely will bring it onto the podcast, because I think it is a topic that can help a lot of people, but I'm not at that place yet. So I walked in May, and May was like a very transformative year because I graduated, I got my degree, I also got my full-time role as a logistical analyst for a major retailer. I'm not going to say the name, but I think you could probably guess they're Orange. And it was exciting. Like I was very, very excited. I was like ready to like enter the working world. That wasn't my intention, right? Like my intention was to do this or just to do social media full time. But I think at that time I needed to just be a typical regular adult and like go into the working force. So I was there for June 7th was my first day. I loved everything about it. I was a logistical analyst and I was on the support side of things, and I was really getting the hang of things. But this is where I made my first mistake. If you are about to graduate and you don't have a job, and you are like, I do not ever go for the desperate option. There are people And especially if you've like done your research, there are peak times people hire, which is like summer for the intake in fall, winter like now to intake in January, and then sometimes September until October for the like next year cycle, right? So do not ever feel desperate to take an opportunity without doing the research. This is where I like made a mistake. I decided to do a contract, and contracts are great in certain aspects. If you are like, if you're like me, you're like a creative and you're like, I want the flexibility of just, I work a duration of hours and I get paid hourly and I can like do my own thing, but I'm not tied to this company. So your brand doesn't affect their name, right? So for me, it was my first job. It was a well-known brand. I was like, I'm going to go for it. Why not? I made a mistake in not trying to fight or even to go and be like, I've been given an opportunity for this company. Is there any possible way that I can connect with someone within like the recruiting department and like leverage myself as an associate? Because I have the experience. Like, I've done multiple internships, also one foreign, one abroad. And the fact that the position that I took, which was logistics, I just didn't have a background in that. But because I didn't, and this like contracting company found me, they were able to take me because, well, one, I'm Black. I have a supply chain and digital marketing background from the University of Tennessee, which is like second or third in the nation for supply chain. So like they take a lot of people from our university for supply chain. And I don't know if I ever mentioned this in a podcast, but supply chain was not my first option when it came to a job. And that is not me being like cocky. Like, I didn't enjoy, I enjoyed certain aspects of the supply chain. Like, I like the structure of it, but for me, I don't get overwhelming joy. When I was doing support, I did, but I made a transition from the support side to the transportation side between the end, like mid August to September. And this is where everything went into turmoil. I truly did not enjoy it. And I'm really glad I did go through it because it showed me transportation will never be for me because it is so anxiety filling. It's such a responsive role. Whereas the role that I was in before was very project based. I was able to like, you know, set durations of time. I had a little bit of free time from here and there. But the role that I went into for transportation was constantly needing me, and not needing me, but like constantly high demand. And it was very much like my role. I was doing like LITs, which is like loss in transit. So I was communicating with vendors and trying to get to figure out why this like shipment was late and trying to adjust that within the system, adjusting like all that stuff. And for me, it was very much a learning curve because I didn't come from that background. And that's not to say that you can never learn. Like, I was super, super open to learning, but it turned for the worse when I got sick. And this time it was physical. I started getting sick September 20th. I came down with a cold. And I think Music Midtown does this to everyone. You come down with like the Music Midtown flu or like cold symptoms. But mine was worse. I had to go to like the chiropractor. I had to go to my therapist. I had to go to my psychiatrist. I was just like sick. I was very, very sick. And I was hourly. So if I didn't work that week or said like, I'm in an emergency, I will touch base once I am out of the hospital, I would have lost my pay for the week. And mind you, when you're working a job that is hourly and you're making good money, you don't want to lose that money. You don't want to lose that money because you're sick. You want to try and push through. And that was what I was doing. I was overextending myself to the point where my computer started not acting right. I was dealing with like sinuses. I was dealing with computer problems, stomach problems, like all of these issues. And I worked my butt off to stay as communicative as I could with my coworkers, my managers, all that stuff. And the manager, and he probably will never listen to this, but the manager that I had for this team, he and I there are times you will work as an adult and personalities just will not work. And it's not personable. It's not personal, but it is. It feels personal because if you're just being your authentic self and this person doesn't like you, it makes everything like hell. And that's kind of what happened. Was I was also grieving because it was like the anniversary of me like burying my dad. So it was marking 2 years of us burying him. And I come in the following Tuesday, set up a meeting because I wanted to like be transparent because I knew I made a mistake. And I think that's the biggest thing with being an adult is taking responsibility and accountability, you know, for what has happened to you. But I think that also goes the opposite way. If you don't feel comfortable within your workspace or within your team that you can't communicate stuff personally, that is a red flag. That is saying like, why, like you should ask yourself that question, like, why do I not feel comfortable being my most authentic self within the space? And of course you can't be like out here, like, you know, cursing or, you know, what's popping, blah, 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 like your most authentic self. But if you can't even talk about the most personal things or like grief, you know, or which is something people have dealt with all the time, then that is truly a red flag. And I'm recognizing that myself, like that should have been a red flag to me. Like I should have then reached out to someone I did feel comfortable and be like, hey, this is coming up. How do I go about like communicating this to my manager? Because obviously I am new. Like this was about what? I was 4 or 5 months into the role. So I think it is taking accountability. So this Tuesday was like the last or second to last Tuesday before. Yeah, it was the last Tuesday of September. I come into this meeting and that manager like then is just, I was coming at maybe a 6, they came at 100, and then I took it to a 120, and then they took it to a 150. It just became a disagreement. Like, we could not see eye to eye because he kind of just put the blame, not necessarily on me, because I don't want to say, like, he was blaming me, but it was more of, like, I was going to come in there accepting the mistake I made, but he came in there hotter than hell. So I was like, no, like I think something for me and like 3 things that I value a lot is, you know, my values, my character, and my family. Like those are the 3 things. So if you come for any of those 3, we're going to have a disagreement and it's not going to be a pretty one. It's going to be, I'm going to like not even call you out, but I'm going to fight you with my words because I'm not a fighter. But I'm going to articulate my feelings to the point where you'll understand, like, this is what I'm trying to get across. And it's then put me in a hyperdrive to prove myself within a role that, quite frankly, like, I knew I was capable of doing. And I proved, like, I busted my ass from that Tuesday until that Friday. And then on October 1st, I remember it like it was Christmas. I come into work or I sign on to work. It's like 8:30. One of my coworkers just asked, like, when are you sending out this LIT thing? And I was like 9:30 because it was a Monday. And between 8:30 and 10:30, my manager had gone behind. I don't want to say behind my back, but he had gone and called my contracting company, terminated the contract, and then came in to our morning meeting, looked me in my face, asked me how my weekend was. I told him I was very relaxed. 5-10 minutes later, I get a call from the contracting company telling me that my contract had been terminated. I had been fired. And I had 2 weeks left at the company. And this is how the summer and fall term of my life really took, because summer I was just working. Like I was out a little bit, but mostly I was just getting adjusted to this new job and really making sure I was like on my A game. And it's really unfortunate because then when I had my exit meeting, he was able to tell me to my face when I asked him, like, what are some things I need to improve on? He really told me to my face, you just didn't have the technical roles for this position. And this was the biggest adulting thing I had to do, was acknowledge the fact that I knew, because I had another manager and I talked to her prior to this meeting and she had told me it was more communication, but he didn't want to tell me that it was communication, right? Because he would have rather taken the safer and more professional approach in regarding to it, but that doesn't benefit anyone besides you. Like, I think in professional aspects, it is important to be critical to help someone improve. I knew it was communication. I knew it was personality. I knew it was communication, but he would never say that to my face because I want to emphasize this man was white. He was a white male. And I think there is a dynamic between a white male and a black woman, especially a black woman who is very secure in herself and a white man who has the power, who's been at this company for 25 years. There is a dynamic, and I'm not going to like lie on my podcast and be like, there's no such thing. No, there is. And I've been also in situations like this prior. Like, you can go listen, I think, to the first or second episode, whatever episode I did with Jessica. I had a boss who did an exact same thing. And it was to a point where she accused me of my text messages being aggressive or mean. And like, she took our private conversation to her white counterpart and was like, I don't know, like, how she's talking to me, when literally I text how I talk. So I use emojis. I don't use periods. Like, I use voice memos. Like, you can tell, like, when I'm texting you, like, I'm talking to you how I would talk in person. It just doesn't have the emotion and the context to it. But the thing that, like, really hurt me, and I think also like really showed me my own like resilience within this first year of being an adult, is this manager, like the one that I just had, really lit a fire under me to just say, you know, F it. Like, I'm gonna take what I know I can do, which is Hannah from Atlanta, and turn it into what it is, which I wanted to be, which is a social media agency based in Atlanta, Georgia, that caters to Gen Z. And he lit that fire. I took the last few dollars of my last paycheck, signed it as an LLC, got the website, paid for all of these different things that I needed to at least hold me until December and January to invest back into Hannah from Atlanta. So I paid for the website, I got like rocket launcher, I got the LLC, the ETIM, I'm buying the license in January. Like, I pretty much have been chucking everything, or like the money that I had, I took it and invested it in back into my brand. And ever since the 15th, mind you, let me like let you know how the last day of my job went. I ended up in urgent care. I ended up finding out I have to have surgery. So the stomach issues were actually very serious. They were not stomach issues. They were like a lot more internal, like feminine, female issues. So I now need to figure out when I'm going to have the surgery and how I'm going to like work that out with my schedule and stuff in the new year. And it's better for me to do it sooner than later, so it doesn't end up affecting me later down the line. The biggest thing that I've learned in those two seasons, so summer and fall with adulting, is don't give your job or even your professional life that much attention. I think I was performing maybe 85, 90%, like more than I need. Like, that was like the percentage I was at. I should have been at a 75 because I gave them everything. So when I got fired, it took so many emotions out of me. Like, and it's funny because I didn't think it really affected me, but then I went to a bar and I'm a big people person, so I was talking with a lady there and I literally broke down crying, and she was like, I can see this really affected you. And I was like, yeah, because it was even too, they were like, well, I can't tell you why you got fired. Bruh, I know why I did. It's communication. Like, and I'm a great communicator, right? I think when it's, I feel safe. I'm a great communicator when I feel safe with the people or the team that I'm on, because I think they're not going to, one, judge me, make me feel some type of way. And then also, two, it's like, I think as a 23-year-old and coming into a space, by month five, yes, you should be pretty comfortable with what you're doing and you shouldn't be like burdening them. But I think because the team was a lot older, I always felt like I was a burden. And like, I didn't feel as if like, not necessarily that I didn't have the training, but I think it was hard. It was hard adjusting from the team that I was on, that I felt like I was really growing. And then to go from that to then this new team, it was a learning curve. Like I won't admit it. It was, and I am constantly learning. I think that this experience really taught me, one, my own resilience, also how to, you know, defend myself, speak up. But I think it also taught me, okay, like, you still have, the communication skill is something you still have to work on in a professional sense when it comes to being on a team. Because I think when I feel comfortable with someone, like my first team, I don't feel afraid that if I say something or ask a question, I'm going to be looked funny. Whereas I think when I went on this older team, I subconsciously was questioning if I was even worthy, not necessarily to be there, but I was just like caught, like I felt like I was always burdening them. Like, I think that was like what was happening in my head. It was a more subconscious thing. And when I talked with my first manager and she kind of gave me a lot of like background, just because I'm about to have my own team, you know, empathy was a big thing that she said she had learned over the years of like being in a managerial role. And I think for me, I am a very big empath. And a lot of the managers, not necessarily I've had beef with, but a lot of the managers that have like left really toxic, you know, experiences behind me, they always were not empathetic, like, or they were just not in touch with their emotions. And like, I don't think there's anything wrong with being an empath. I don't think there's anything wrong with knowing your emotions. I think it's just important to find the people in the spaces and the places and the careers that will allow you to do that. And I think that's what I'm learning right now. Like, I left the job on the 15th, and then I worked at my co-working space all of last month. It was just like an uphill battle of just finding like a holiday job. I found one, so I've been doing that at Lennox. And then also too, I've been like really, really, really focusing and honing in on my business and really making sure that is like top tier. And I think bringing on interns is going to be amazing. I love being a leader. I love leading people, and I love like being not necessarily in charge, but just seeing one's potential prior and then giving them an opportunity to like shine. When I was a vice president of marketing before COVID, that was like my favorite thing about being in that role, is I really got to see an individual's potential. And I mean, I know that I know I'm a good leader because we won an award that spring. So I know that what I know works, and I know a lot when it comes to digital marketing. So I'm so excited to bring on a team, and I kind of really wanted to start this series as maybe a part one and kind of dive into like the other aspects of adulting that we don't really talk about. So I think this one is really about just what have I learned in a year from being an adult. And I think the next topics I really want to talk about are, you know, financial. You know, I want to get into money. Like, we should talk about it, because your baby girl like is doing a business, you know. And I ain't saying we broke, but you take a financial risk at the start when you're leveraging your own money within a business. And I think there's a lot that I've learned by doing this about what not to do and what to do, adulting personally, but also to professionally as a business owner. And then I definitely want to talk about, you know, dating as an adult, like post-grad, and like how that's been. I'm gonna pass on like three, like five things I've learned since being an adult, my first year being post-grad. So first one, it is okay to live at your parents' house. I am not gonna lie. When I had to move back home because of COVID, I was really struggling because, I mean, it was a lot more for me, like, fighting my shadow self because, obviously, like, my dad's not here. So it's like I have to, like, one, accept that fact and then also to face that fact head on. So I want to emphasize, if you're about to graduate and you don't have a full-time job, or you're moving back to your hometown, or you're moving back to the state of your state where you grew up, live at home. I am in the process of trying to buy a house, so actually I'm going to stay here until I can afford to do that on my own, because it makes more sense to go for an asset than a liability. And I know that luxury apartments do look nice, so if you are in a position where you have to get an apartment, then, I mean, go for it. But if you can save the money and, like, if you can save the money you would pay to an apartment and take that money and buy a house, then I would say go for that. I know you're sacrificing, like, you know, your mental health being at your parents' house if it's not, you know, function, it's a little bit dysfunctional, but I am very, very excited that hopefully by spring, summertime, I'll be able to say I'm a house owner or a homeowner. So yeah, so I would say, like, the first thing is, like, stay at home as long as you can. If your family's toxic or very, 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 very dysfunctional, then by all means move out once you graduate. And, you know, it is possible to survive on your own, but I think for me, I've learned that, like, I am very thankful that I have a place to be, that I don't have to pay rent. I help out in other ways, like with certain bills. But I think not having to factor in rent, it was actually the blessing, because it allowed me to actually buy a car, a new used car, in October. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was living in an apartment, because it's a pretty hefty expense every month. But now, you know, I can focus on putting that money, yes, to the car, but also to into saving for a house sometime in 2022. The second thing I would say is really cherish your friendships. My friend group completely changed within the last year. I do not talk to 85% of the people I was talking with in college. I have a very small knit of close friends. Like, my best friends or the people I know I can count on if I was in an emergency are like five. I can count them on my fingers. And then I've been actually in the season of making new friends, which has been incredible. It's been so much fun, and I'm not even looking for it. It's just kind of coming to me by just putting myself out there and, like, getting out of the house. I'm very thankful. I still am close with some of my, like, really core college friends, like my friend Ariana, but my high school friends, Penny and Kareen and Bree and a couple other people, I'm just, you know, I'm not trying to name drop a ton, but I still know I can, like, count on them, and I can, like, text them, and, like, we can catch up and get coffee, and nothing changes. My friend Marielle, like, nothing changes. And then now, because I've been getting back into my faith, I found, like, a church home, and I'm making new friends that way. There are, like, some young adults that are also kind of in the same age as me, and it's been amazing. It's truly a blessing to be able to say that, like, I'm finally finding people, like, who, one, like, have the same mindset as me, but also, two, like, I feel myself around. And I think reflecting on this past, like, a year ago, the people I was talking to, it's not necessarily that they didn't know me. I think it was just more being out of Knoxville for a year and then going back, like, a lot had changed for me. So I think it's been amazing now, like, rediscovering my old self, like, my inner child, but then also too, like, getting really, really excited for, like, this new Hannah from Atlanta, and, like, this new Hannah, and, like, all the things that, like, bring her joy and what she likes and stuff. So that would be my number two. Number three is go outside. You know, we are in a time where if you are vaccinated, you really have no excuse not to go outside. If you're nervous, you know, masks still exist, but get out of the house. I've made it a priority to get out at least every day. Whether that's going to a park and just existing at the park, whether that's me seeing a friend like I am tonight to bake cookies and hang out and catch up, whether that is to go on a date and, like, you know, take a risk, get out of the house. We are so fortunate to always be able to wake up. We are fortunate as creatures to be able to, like, exist the way that we do. Like, basically, I think as human beings, we are very fortunate that we get to wake up every day and, like, it's just a new day. You know, I am a big gratitude person. I, like, write my gratitude, but also I have an app called I Am Sober, so it's, like, every night I have to, like, reflect on, like, what the day was like and stuff, and it's been so healing because it kind of makes me have to be present about what did happen, like, how did I feel, like, did anything exciting happen, and it also allows me to take a moment to, like, appreciate, like, my emotions and, like, what was hard, what was easy, and especially being alcohol free, it's not an easy journey sometimes because there are so many things that can trigger you to, like, want to relapse. But it's been beautiful. I mean, I love learning so much about myself and really allowing myself to feel my emotions. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to say that, like, 3 years ago because I hated my emotions. But now, like, if I gotta cry, I gotta cry. So I'm very thankful. I think it was 3, 4. Always invest into yourself. I've done a lot of, I'm doing life coaching right now, and then I've done, like, some, like, Skillshare, YouTube, I've done, like, content strategy stuff. Investing into yourself and, like, your craft is so, so important. And what I'm doing right now is I'm taking a life coaching class focused on trauma. So I'm really trying to heal the trauma that I've experienced in, like, the 23 years of my life. That thing is powerful. It's been super insightful. I've been learning a lot about myself and just also to the things that, like, do trigger me, and, like, also making realizations of the triggers that were caused this year, and also accepting the way of life, right? Like, I think the holidays, and I want to do another episode talking about grief 2 years later, before that year ends. But the holidays can be joyous for some, but it can be really hard for others. And I'm really fortunate and really happy to say, like, this year, I feel in the holiday spirit. Now, am I saying I'm gonna, like, consume and want you to buy me a bunch of stuff for Christmas? No, because I'm very I'm a minimalist, and for me, like, buying and consuming gifts was something I did, like, 2018, 2019, and now I'm just, like, I don't really care about a gift. Like, I think being able to spend time with the people I love and the people, like, I'm getting to know and, like, appreciate, that matters way more to me than gifts. If you really want to show your appreciation, like, you could just give me money and that'd be cool. I don't really need, like, another sweater or, like, UT gear. Like, I could just buy that on my own when I'm ready to, but I get the whole concept of gift giving. It's just like so much capitalism. And then the supply chain, like, we have broken the supply chain because we've been monsters, and, like, we just have constantly needed stuff throughout the pandemic, when really, if you think about it, like, you probably didn't need the air fryer, you know, like, you already have one, Stacey, like, you don't need another one, you know? So that's, like, my take on it. But I think that's what I would say, like, 3 is just, you know, really, yeah, that's what I would say. 4, I would say, is cherish your me time. This is the first season where everything feels aligned. Like, this is the age of Aquarius, but also, too, like, after leaving corporate, I have been the happiest. I have been the healthiest. I have focused on me. I be going to sleep early, like 10:30, 11:30. Like, I'd be taking vitamins. I am drinking tea, water, strawberry banana smoothies. I am disconnected from social media. Like, I'd be spending maybe, like, like an hour, maybe 30 minutes on Instagram. Like, I have become so detached from social media, even though it's like what I do. And I'm proud of myself because I think this time at the start of the year, yeah, I couldn't say that. Like, I was really connected to it. I needed it all the time. And now, like, I think ending off the year and going into this full time and, you know, really honing in on it, like, I feel confident that it won't take over my life. Like, I feel like I have people who will keep me accountable, people who will check me, people who will literally call me out, like, "Babe, you've been on your phone too long, like, give it to me," you know? And I think now, like, putting myself out there and dating, like, I I'm not gonna be on my phone with, like, the person that I'm seeing and stuff. So I think that's what's super, super beautiful. And it's also kind of inspired me to, like, really focus on this, like, talking and doing my podcasts and being creative. And, you know, it allows me to have those moments of creative spurts. So, like, I was able to do this podcast and also film a deep dive video. And then tonight I'm going to edit everything, so everything's ready to go. Will it be a late night? Yeah, but at least I got what I needed to done. And I'm proud of myself because a motivation wasn't there, but the motivation to get it up by tomorrow. And then the last thing I would say in this part one of adulting that I've just realized is your mental health and your physical health come before anything. Like, if there was a triangle and it was time, money, health, for me, it would literally be health. No, it'd probably be time, health, and the money, because this has been the year where my health was the most up in the air about everything. Like, this is the first year where I'm like, I might have to have, like, a surgery. I've never ever had to have surgery before. This is the first year where I had to get, like, I had to get on medication for my mental health. And I'm not afraid to say it anymore, whereas I was when I started. There was a lot of stigma I felt on myself. I also too invested in therapy and, like, getting two therapists that can focus on two different things that I need to work on. And I think because I've been sober and really focused on living life without any substances, yeah, a lot of memory and flashbacks keep coming back to me. And that's been something that I've had to try and work on, because I didn't realize 2018, I was just really smoking a lot of marijuana, to the point where I literally, and I'll tell you guys this, and once I know the story, I will definitely bring it on the podcast. I'm going to figure it out. The memory will be unlocked in therapy. And once I know it, we will reconvene. I really think I learned the importance of taking care of yourself physically and mentally. And I'm really, really excited, because I think going into working for myself, I have that freedom to take care of myself when I need to, you know, and I'll have a team that can still operate everything without me needing to be the face and presence of everything, which is super, super exciting. I am super, super excited, and I am excited to continue to do this. You know, I've been doing this for, like, 2019, and it's crazy how it's not been as consistent as I would like. So going into 2022, that is the main focus, is to make sure that every week you guys get an episode and we can really see this grow and develop. I'm very excited for all the guests that I'm going to be bringing, and I've been slowly reaching out to. And yeah, and just who knows, you know, that Jack Carla interview is something that I've been manifesting. So hopefully on the 28th, I'm a getter. So yeah, but without ado, I'm going to wrap up this episode. Yeah, I'm going to wrap up this episode because my throat truly is agony. So thank you so much for listening. As always, this has been Hannah from Atlanta. I hope you guys enjoyed. To keep up with what I'm doing, you can find me on Instagram, Hannah_from_Atlanta or Hannah from Atlanta podcast. You can find me on Twitter, Hannah from Atlanta, and you can find me on TikTok, Hannah from Atlanta or Hannah from Atlanta podcast. I really hope you guys enjoyed listening, and I will see you guys next week, and that'll be a music episode for sure. Bye.